Thanks, John Key. Well, I decided to expand a little bit from just nitrogen. I'm also going to include phosphorus and carbon. And it's a summary paper research that's been conducted over 8 or 10 years. And I'll talk about my collaborators in just a minute. What compelled us to do this research? Basically, two things that we're all familiar with is there was legislation passed over the last 2 years. The first was under the Clean Water Act. And basically what this was after was to abate phosphorus loss from runoff from agricultural land. And the focus of this legislation was really on manure management and the phosphorus contained in manure. And then came along legislation under the Clean Air Act, which was amended to try to abate first ammonia emissions and now greenhouse gases from animal agriculture in general. So the objective of this research was basically to provide information and hopefully practices that could help dairy producers comply with some of the new legislation that, or the regulations that were being put on them. Now, if we look at a typical cow ration, just animal nutrition 101, being a soil scientist, it's 0.01 actually for me, but anyway, about half of what a dairy cow consumes is comprised of forage, and that forage, as many of you probably know, is corn silage or alfalfa silage, and about a quarter of the ration is grain, usually some kind of high moisture shell corn or can be another type of grain. And then protein supplement is added to that to provide protein and energy to balance the ration, so that is played with. And then there's minerals for all types of health and reproduction concerns. Now, this is where I'm going to pause just a little bit. I didn't go and feed dairy cows different rations for the purpose of producing the manure to look at what happens in the soil system. At the Dairy Forage Research Center, we have three dairy nutritionists that look at different aspects of dairy nutrition, one that specializes in protein nutrition, one that's more in carbohydrates, soluble carbohydrates, starch, energy, and another one that's more in fiber and forage fiber analysis. And the way that this research is conducted is that the dairy nutritionists have their particular questions based on dairy nutrition, reproductive performance of the cow, and they'll alter the crude protein, the energy, forage type, put tannin in the forage to try to make tannin more or less digestible, protect the protein, see if the animal benefits. So what we do is continue the diets after the animal production parameters have been taken. If it's a full lactation trial, it's 300 days. If it's mid-lactation or whatever. And then for 4 or 5 days after the trial, we'll continue to feed the diets and take the manure for the purpose of either our field studies or what other studies we have. So if you look at, I'll be talking a little bit about minerals. That's what I'll start out with. And what we're basically interested in the minerals is the impact that it has on fecal phosphorus, total phosphorus in the feces, water-soluble or lightly acidic extractable phosphorus. And if you look at the forage and the protein supplements, that really impacts nitrogen excretion by the dairy cow, the nitrogen that's excreted in the feces versus the urine. It's the amount of fiber nitrogen in the feces versus the endogenous nitrogen. We break fecal nitrogen into two pools. Fiber nitrogen is the nitrogen that's still associated with the fiber that escaped digestion from the animal. It's about 20% of fecal nitrogen, but as I'll show, that's impacted by diet. And then the rest of the nitrogen in the feces is of the animal itself, endogenous nitrogen, so it's microbial bacteria tissue from the animal. And that has a very different lability in the soil. It breaks down very differently than fiber nitrogen, which has already been through a digestive process. Also, urea nitrogen in the urine is impacted by protein, the type and the amount of protein, the forage, I'll show you that, and that impacts ammonia loss. And carbon, the forage and the grain impact carbon dynamics in the manure, and that's structural carbohydrate profile in the manure, and non-structural carbohydrate, which provides a more readily available source of energy to soil microbes. So let's start with the phosphorus story. And again, this was more done in response to some of these water quality concerns. And phosphorus, the minerals impact phosphorus excretion. It impacts the land spreading, how much land is required to spread that manure. It impacts the amount of how quickly soil test phosphorus builds up in the soil. And it also impacts the runoff of phosphorus. And Angela, I'm glad you're here, because Angela did that work. It's still talked about, Angela. So if we look at 10 years ago almost, if we looked at a survey in Wisconsin of how dairy cows were being fed phosphorus, the phosphorus content of dairy cow rations, again, caged within the water quality, the National Research Council gave a breadth of what dietary phosphorus should look like based on milk production, and we found that farmers were far exceeding those phosphorus levels. Now, what happens when we feed phosphorus in excess of requirements? And the requirement is right there at 0.35, the maximum amount of phosphorus that's needed for high-producing dairy cows. All of the phosphorus in excess of requirement is excreted in the manure, and it's excreted as water-soluble phosphorus. Now, this is Angela's work, and what happens when we apply that manure to our cropland, and basically it just runs off. We have an 8 to 10 fold increase in water-soluble phosphorus coming off of our soils when the manure was derived from cows fed a phosphorus excess diet, and these were the prevailing practices at the time when compared to phosphorus runoff from manure derived from cows fed a phosphorus adequate diet. Now let's look at what that excess phosphorus does to the phosphorus to nitrogen ratio in the manure. So here's our dietary phosphorus levels, if I can get it. So if dairy cows are fed the right amount of phosphorus, well, the phosphorus nitrogen ratio in the manure approximately equals the phosphorus nitrogen ratio in most of the crops that we grow in the Midwest. But as we increase dietary phosphorus above the recommended level, this is where many of the farmers are, we start moving away from that ideal phosphorus nitrogen ratio. Our manure becomes phosphorus loaded. Now what happens if we continue to function under a nitrogen management regime for applying manure phosphorus? Manure nitrogen, we're applying phosphorus much in excess of what the crops actually need. Now, what that does, as we increase dietary phosphorus, we increase excretion of manure. The first thing that it does is increase the land area twofold, the amount of land required under the new land spreading regulations based on manure phosphorus. It doubles the amount of land that's needed, that a farmer needs in a nutrient management plan to recycle that dietary phosphorus. And if we look at what happens to soil test phosphorus, again, ration phosphorus at the right level, no change in diet, no change in soil test phosphorus, but as we increase dietary phosphorus, excess manure, and what happens is that builds up soil test phosphorus in our soils, which in the end is going to increase the risk of runoff. Now I'm going to shift to crude protein, that component that's about 25% of the dry matter intake by the dairy cows, and this impacts the nitrogen, how much nitrogen comes out in feces versus how much comes out in urine. This affects ammonia emissions from land-applied manure. It affects the nitrogen, the mineralization of the nitrogen contained in the feces in the soil, and it affects the uptake of plant of nitrogen by the plant. So as we feed nitrogen, just parallel to the phosphorus story, as far as nitrogen intake increases, less of that nitrogen goes into milk. Basically, the animals just urinate out excess nitrogen. And here we, what I did is pick just two dietary crude protein levels, adequate, excess, more nitrogen coming out by the cow, most of it coming out as urinary nitrogen. And again, as a parallel to the phosphorus study, when we go and apply that manure under our soils, we get much higher amounts of ammonia coming off of our soils from manure derived from cow-fed crude protein excess when compared to crude protein adequate diets. Now, this is a general diagram of nitrogen transformation on dairy farms. I won't get into it, but we talked about the impact of how we feed cows on manure and ammonia. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about the chemistry of nitrogen in the feces and the impact that has on nitrification, the turnover of that nitrogen in soil, and how that affects plant uptake of nitrogen. So if we look at the relative mineralization rates of feces applied to soil, those derived from a high protein diet versus a low protein diet, we see that the protein does pass into the fecal nitrogen pool, mostly as microbial nitrogen, this endogenous nitrogen in the feces, and it mineralizes in a pattern, in a quicker pattern than feces derived from cows fed a lower crude protein diet. And that also impacts nitrogen uptake by plants. So feces derived from nitrogen from cows fed a high crude protein diet mineralize more quickly in soil than the low protein feces, and the plants respond to that by taking up more nitrogen from the high crude protein feces. Now, one of the problems that we have with alfalfa is that it's a very soluble protein, and that protein passes through the animal, is digested quickly, and a lot of that protein is not utilized by the animal. It comes down as urinary nitrogen. So there's a couple things that we're trying to do with that, and it relates to the forage component, getting tannins into the forage, or changing over to corn silage, which a lot of producers are doing. So I'm going to look at two aspects of the impact of switching from alfalfa to corn silage, and the other one is putting tannins into alfalfa and the impact that that has on some of these nitrogen dynamics. So specifically, I'm going to look at the amount of nitrogen that comes out as endogenous nitrogen in the feces versus nitrogen as fiber nitrogen, how that impacts mineralization of fecal nitrogen in the soil, and then plant uptake of that nitrogen. So forage tannins, again, it's a way to protect that protein a little bit more in the rumen so it bypasses and gets utilized by the animal better than alfalfa. So research has shown that incorporating tannins into alfalfa, well, here actually trefoil, birdsfoot trefoil is the model here. If we look at tannin-containing forages versus alfalfa, we see that the animal responds to it. These are at the same crude protein level, but just the tannin level is different, so we get higher milk production. Now let's look at the excretion. This is alfalfa, the low tannin and the high tannin. We get more manure coming out from the high tannin diet, but that manure is fecal nitrogen, less urinary nitrogen, and again, going back to this pattern that I've hopefully have established, that impacts when we apply manure to our soils, we find that tannin reduces urinary nitrogen, also impacts the chemistry of the feces, and when we apply that manure, either as fresh manure or stored manure, two ways that farmers land apply their manure, we get a reduction in ammonia nitrogen due to the tannin effect. Okay. Also, the carbon nitrogen chemistry in the feces. This is the nitrogen that's associated with the fiber in the feces, and this is the carbon to nitrogen ratio. This is corn silage versus alfalfa silage. We have differential mineralization patterns of whether animals were fed all corn silage in the diet or partial corn silage and alfalfa silage. And actually, this was surprising to us. We got a dramatic change in crop nitrogen yield and uptake, corn silage really suppressing nitrogen mineralization and mobilization, and we're getting much lower yields than if the feces were derived from an alfalfa based diet. So two conclusions. One is that forages, proteins, supplements, and minerals impact manure carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus excretion and their transformation in air, water, and soil, and that dairy rations can be formulated to satisfy the nutritional requirements of high-producing, healthy dairy cows and yet produce excreta that is less susceptible to nutrient loss. Thank you. Yes, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the rations are formulated to minimize environmental loss, it also seems that then they also suppress the crop production. So the crop producers can be adding more nitrogen and phosphorus and get that.
Well, not necessarily. I showed a number of slides where actually crop yield is enhanced by a reduction in ammonia loss or shifting from alfalfa silage to corn silage. Yes, that would require more nitrogen. I mean, that's more nitrogen, one, because you're losing biologically fixed nitrogen by having less alfalfa in your cropping system. You need more nitrogen to grow the corn, and as this research suggests, is that you may actually need more nitrogen to jumpstart the mineralization of manure derived from the corn silage diet.